Okay. Welcome. This is the Personnel Committee of the Pacifica National Board, and today is Friday, July 17th, 2015. And Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
José Luis Fuentes. Janet Corum.
Present.
Lydia Prason.
Here.
Adriana Castillo, present. Robert Mark.
Present.
Thank you. Janet Coleman.
Here.
Celine Roberts. Jim Brown. Benito Diaz.
Present.
Janice Lane Stewart. Madam Chair, quorum. Six people present.
Okay, thank you. And we have minutes. Madam Secretary, you sent us some minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, and the minutes were for, let me see here.
June 5th, 2015 and June 19th, 2015.
Okay, thank you. And are there any objections to approving the minutes? Okay.
This is Jack Kay. I haven't had a chance to read them, so I would abstain, but that doesn't hold me back.
Okay. Are there any objections to approving the minutes? After you've reviewed them, Janet, you remember you can always amend at a later meeting. But hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. And thank you, Adriana, for getting those out promptly. Looking for my agenda here. Okay, so we're going to...
Point of information, please.
Pardon?
Point of information.
Yes.
Yeah, I just didn't get the dates correct. The minutes,
okay.
The dates on the minutes.
I'm sorry, you didn't get what?
I didn't get the dates of the minutes. June 4th, and there's another one.
Yeah, it's the past couple of meetings. Go ahead, Adriana, you want to repeat the dates of those minutes?
Yes.
She sent them out just a little while ago.
June 5th and June 19th.
5 and 19.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we promptly, I shouldn't say that promptly, but it took us a few days, I'm sorry. So this is the first item on the agenda. Let me read the agenda for the benefit of the listening audience. Number one is update on the process for posting and receiving resumes, update on the ad posting, and then what will take up most of our time are the interview questions. Okay, so... the update on the process, it took a little experimentation and working back and forth, but we finally got it. And this is between myself and John Almella and Otis, mostly John Almella. I think it's setting up the address. And so we now have an address that worked. It took a little doing. An email address that worked and that can be used, you know, if we ever need to use it in the future, hopefully not. But anyway, so that is cfo.apply@pacifica.org, and so that is now posted on the website. And then somebody will have to remind me why Otis always posts the spells out at, but anyway, let me see, we have the salary posted on there, we have the deadline for submission, and then we have what we agreed at the last minute, which was to please submit your resume and a cover letter not to exceed 500 words, and then, you know, by email and the email address, and we were able to set up a site, an email site that both myself and Lachelle at this juncture, and then everyone, if once we start getting in plenty of resumes, I guess, we haven't gotten that far figuring that one out, but anyway, that we can get to. So we're both have access to a particular, not a website, to a particular email, an email box, that's what it is. And so both she and I can log on to that. That way the office has a copy of anything that comes in, and then I do too, and then, I mean, I don't have a problem just forwarding everything to the committee, but anyway, we probably should decide that as well, how to do that once we try it out and see how it goes. Anyway, so we finally have that worked out, and I think it's a good system. I've gone through a couple of the systems with Pacifica before, and there were always all these obstacles to getting it. A lot of people couldn't log on, and you couldn't print out, or you couldn't download, and blah, blah, blah. So this seems to work extremely well, and I do want to thank both gentlemen for developing that process for us.
Yay.
But it took a few days. So then, so everything's posted now. And then posting the ads are kind of tricky, but Alex is very good at sending us the best places where he posted. Some of the constraints had to do with our credit card availability and so forth, and then I'm waiting to be okayed by the previous administrators on Idealist, so I just emailed them and said, please approve it so I can get that going. And so I think that that's going to be moving along. The one question that we need to ask an HR professional, I think, and I sent this to John, along with a website of a nonprofit that apparently offers pro bono HR. And they have with offices in the Bay Area as well as in LA and other cities. And so I just discovered that today. So hopefully that will yield something. But the main question has been is that for the longest time I've always heard we have to post in a daily newspaper. The question is, does every position have to be posted in a daily newspaper? And presumably that's also online because that's what we did here at KPFK. It's the most expensive of all of the postings, which is why before we post it there, I want to know. And how long do you have to post it is the rest of the question, John.
Point of information.
Point of procedure.
Okay. I heard Janet C. first and then
yes.
Janet K.
I'm just curious about that particular legality. Is that in the law?
I don't know. That's why I want to hear it from an HR professional.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm certain it's not a law, but it could be a regulation someplace. In the
An EEO thing, because we do have to turn in regular national and local station EEO reports every year. And that's why we are having the national office keep a copy, as well as I would keep a copy, and you keep appropriate record for that EEO certification type of thing. But I just don't know, and I've looked on the EEO site. I don't see it, but it's because it has to. We really need an HR person. I've been asking it for a while. So that'll determine, you know, that particular ad. And then, does anybody have any questions?
Janet K.,
I'm sorry, you were next.
Well, for the listening audience, I don't believe John Proffitt's name was called in terms of being on the call, so.
John Proffitt is the executive director, and although he is not a member of the national board or of this committee, we did invite him on last time, and he will stay on absent executive sessions when we start interviewing individual candidates. Thank you. Okay, so did everyone? I think we can move on to then the next item, which is the interview questions. Did everyone?
Point of order.
Oh, okay.
Just that, we forgot to approve the agenda.
Oh, sorry. No, I thought, okay, maybe I did ask. I thought I asked if there was any objection. No, that was the minutes. You're correct. Are there any objections to the agenda of which we're two-thirds of the way through? Okay. Hearing no objection, let's go on to the juicy question.
Huh.
And so this was an interesting process. I kept bringing up what was all this title of interview questions from the 2012-2013, and I ended up realizing I was pulling up from each individual member of the committee and their set of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but the ultimate questions were the ones that I did send. The ones that we finally ended up with are the ones that that the chair sent out and that we asked. And for the purpose, again, of our listeners, I will read them while all of you ponder additional questions. There were some questions that were proposed at our last meeting relative to when we were considering including them in the posting for the ad. And they were actually questions that were more conducive to these questions. So we might want to add them, but I'll go through them. The first one was,
Lydia,
yes.
Just a second. Just to be clear in my mind, these are the questions, the final list of questions that were asked of the candidates when Raul and others were interviewed that Sunday in New York?
No. These are the questions that were asked of candidates by the committee, not by the PMB. I do recall, and I couldn't find those, that there were a few other questions that the PMB asked. It wasn't this long of a list. It was questions beyond these questions. And I couldn't find those, so I've written to Alex to see if he might have those. So these are the questions that the committee asked of the CFO candidate. Okay, so here we go. And then, you know, we will still have to determine how we pick those the list of candidates that we're going to be interviewing. But these are the questions. Number one is, do you have any experience leading a company out of financial distress into financial health? If yes, can you tell us how you achieved that? Number two, have you ever had a setback in your professional career? I think this is career. I think these have typos. And can you tell us what you learned from it? Number three, what are you looking for in this position that you are not getting out of your current job? Number four, what do you consider your role to be in fundraising? Number five, are you apprehensive of anything regarding this position? Number six, what is the relevance of the Pacifica mission today? Number seven, do you have current obligations or business activities which might interfere with your position as CFO? Number eight, how would you deal with a staff member who reports to you and who repeatedly fails to meet goals? Number nine, what leadership skills do you have to put together a team of professionals in this non-traditional environment? Number 10, how do you go about training board members with limited or no financial background? Number 11, our outside auditor issued, well, this is kind of outdated. This is when our previous auditor had issued a going concern alert for two consecutive years. What would you recommend to the leadership of Pacifica to rectify the situation? Number 12, what are the advantages to having a lockbox for the Pacifica Foundation? Number 13, if you were hired, when could you start? Number 14, do you have any questions of us? Okay, I'll take a stack.
I'd like to be on the stack, Janet.
Okay.
I would too, John.
Okay. So,
Janet Pay also.
Okay, so I heard Janet C., I heard Benito, I heard John, and I heard Janet K.
And Adriana.
And Adriana. Janet C.?
I think it is actually an amazingly intelligent and probing list of questions. we, the personnel committee that followed yours with Alex and Nia, inherited these questions, I think, and inherited actually the list of people. And I think these are excellent, and then we can't make a mistake, and we can take the first half and then go on to the next for some second round of questioning. I don't think really there's a lemon in the bunch.
Okay, thank you. And then Benito.
Okay, I just have the questions. I just have one question. I understood what the lockbox is.
Good question.
If somebody could tell me.
Yeah, anybody. It's a secure mechanism that was instituted around this time and that the auditors recommended. And it does, and it is a situation that you... that you establish with the bank, and it's a process. You have to go to the bank and you have to arrange for this quote-unquote lockbox, and it's just another security measure of recording the checks that are in accurately, and it's another checks and balances procedure. Anybody else want to clarify that?
Yes.
John?
There, another usage of the lockbox is literally a box with a lock on it at a place of business that collects cash or checks. In other words, to prevent the, you know, cash and other instruments like checks being left on desks during overnight or something, all of that material is placed into a slot into the locked safety, like a safety deposit box, and only the you know, appointed people, the controller or CFO or head accountant, has a key to that box. He just provides security in the office.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And
Adriana?
Oh, no, wait, who?
Adriana?
No, you're on after John.
I know. I want to add something.
Oh, you're responding to lockbox. Okay, go ahead.
What I know that, for example, when we send letters to cast to listeners to renew their subscriptions, we send an envelope that have an address that is not at the station, go straight to that lockbox.
Yes.
Okay. And then, let me see, okay, let's go back to the general stack, which was John, and then Janet K., and then Adriana.
Lydia, may I ask you to repeat the question that referred to fundraising? I didn't quite catch the phraseology on that. May I hear that?
Oh, I'm sorry, and I didn't forward this to you, right?
Okay. That's okay.
okay, so let me see, obligations, where is this? Okay. What do you consider your role to be in fundraising?
Okay. Just to offer my opinion on that, I think that's an inappropriate question for a CFO job. A CFO would, by the nature of their training and professional ethics, not be involved in soliciting money, fundraising. So to ask them what their attitude about fundraising is, I think is... well, it's beside the point, and I would drop the question.
Okay, I'm trying to think now, how they answered. Nevertheless,
may we do the stock of the stack, please?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Wait, everybody, be quiet. I'm well aware of the stack. Everybody, one chair. Okay. So John, I will try to. Spoke up and see how people responded to that at the time. Okay. People interpreted the question to suit what they believed their role was. But anyway, next is Janet Kay and then Adriana.
Okay, so I agree with what John Prophet just said about fundraising. I would also remove that question, but I have two other possible questions. One of them is, what is your experience preparing budgets and multiple and working with multiple interrelated budgets. And then the other question is, what has your experience been with nonprofit audits and tax filings?
Okay, would you mind sending those by email?
I wouldn't mind.
Thank you very much.
Do that.
And that'll be helpful. Okay, those are two good questions. Adriana?
Yes, I agree absolutely with John about the fundraiser. I don't think that has nothing to do with the CFO. I think that is we are mixing, I mean, have enough work to take care of finances to be involved in anything that has to do with that. And the first question is, for me, is confusing because it's about experience leading a company out of financial distress into financial help. I think that that is exactly the job description of the executive director. I mean, the CFO doesn't need to lead anything. He needs just to accomplish the financial statements, the accounting. That's all that the CFO have to do. This was his financial statements, but have nothing to do with the leading experience, leading any company. That shouldn't be. And I think that more than that, it's totally against what the nature of his job is, his or her job is.
May I comment, please?
Yeah.
Okay, John.
Just a quick comment. Actually, Adriana, the CFO in all industry, be it for-profit or not-for-profit, is a strategic position. It is actually a management position that does get involved in planning and strategic thinking of how the company should be moving forward in terms of its financial endeavors. So I think it's okay to say that.
Okay. Wait a minute, John. Now I'm confused. Didn't you say to strike that question, or you're just saying reword it?
Not fundraising. We're talking about the Adriana was objecting to the very first question about leading a company. Yes, the CFO typically does lead in the sense that he or she is a top management person who thinks and acts and develops plans strategically, which is by definition part of the leadership of the organization.
Okay, thank you. And
I would contrast it with, say, one down, like the general accountant or the controller for an organization is basically a glorified super accounting position that simply crunches figures and doesn't really try to develop or suggest or recommend policy to a board. The CFO is in the position and has the responsibility of making recommendations concerning policy to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And
I have another concern.
Okay, wait a minute. I heard another voice. Was that Benito?
Yeah.
Okay, Benito and then Adriana.
I'm sorry, but...
I just want to support what John just said. I remember... Well, first of all, it makes sense to me as one of the two top officers of the foundation, and number one. Number two, concretely, I do remember Raul making suggestions from time to time about
Benito?
Can you hear me?
Benito?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not discussing individual employees, former or past or future. Okay, just say you recall.
Okay, I hear you.
Thank you very much.
I forgot. So anyway, the point is the prior CFOs have played that role. Let's put it that way. Functioned in that role. The way the sentence is worded right now, experience leading a company out of financial distress into financial health. So it's strictly having to do with the financial picture, but like John said, it's a strategic position.
Thank you. And
Janet K.
Okay, Adriana is next, and then Janet K.
Yes, Lydia, I have the floor before, right?
I thought you were through with your suggestion. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't. First of all, I will insist in changing the number one, because I believe that in every company, a CFO, I agree with John in the strategic, but he doesn't have a way to he cannot lead. He can show, he can, in a way, give ideas, but it's not up to him. He cannot take any of the messages because it's not in his job description. But forget about that. I was talking about, I want to be to consider something else. First of all, strike number 4-2. And I don't understand. I think that number 10 need to be refreshed too, because how do you go about training board members with limited or not financial background? I believe that it's more appropriate to say how he will communicate with board members with limited or not financial background. But training?
That's well
said. We are expecting him to train?
Okay. Are you through?
Yes.
Adriana? You're finished. Okay. So, Janica, in addition to what you were going to say, I know we've had an offline discussions, not recently, but about that training aspect. So if you can include that in your comments. And
okay, so I had arranged for a training by a CPA for my local station board that was very well accepted and very well done, and I had wanted this to happen for the national board, or, you know, for all the LSBs, because LSBs approve budgets, but also for the PNB. And so what Lydia and I had talked about was that it would probably be appropriate for the CFO to do that, and I agree. So that's my remark about that. I wanted to say that I agree about question number one, that it is appropriate, except it could be reworded using advising a company rather than leading. And another note. Okay, that's all I have right now.
Okay. Okie dokie. So it seems to me that there might be some wordsmithing involved here. But what I heard, and people can correct me, is that the first question, the main objection is experience in leading a company out of financial distress. By the way, when we conducted these interviews in 2012 and 2013, several of them answered that and just simply gave an example of when they did so. So I don't think it's that outlandish. However, you know, we can certainly use words like participating. I wouldn't say assisting, because that puts them in the assistant position. The whole point is taking a lead in that area. And in the absence of an ED, which we've had occasion to have here, the CFO is the one who takes the reins at that juncture. So anyway,
I had suggested advise also.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And so So I'm saying that's not the same as Lee. I think it takes away from it personally, but I'm hearing everybody. So I'm saying we can play with the word, participate, advise, or whatever. But first of all, let me get a sense by virtue of a vote. How many people believe...
Excuse me, could I get on the stack? There's an issue that really concerns me.
No, go ahead, Robert.
It's question number 7. And I think it was intended to ask about potential conflicts of interest, but it could be read as a backdoor attempt to say, are you disabled? Do you have children that might interfere with your employment at Pacifica? And I think it needs to be reworded to deal with the fiscal conflict issues, but concisely, so that it doesn't give the impression they're looking for information that should not be asked.
That's okay.
Right. So rather, how about just striking obligations? The issue was that it wasn't really meant specifically for a direct conflict of interest as defined in the bylaws. You know, it isn't that they are the husband or wife of the executive director, for example, or something. So I would steer away from conflict of interest. However, it is the time allotment in one particular case in more than one. Sometimes you Google the people even before HR people do this. They Google them even before they go into the background checks and all of that. And sometimes it has shown that someone comes out as being a business owner. But then maybe that business is being run by someone in the family. They just happen to be, you know, named as one of the entities, but they're not active in the business itself. So that was the intent of that particular question. But obligation, I can see where obligation could be misconstrued to say what Robert is saying. Does anybody have an objection?
You use the word contractual obligations or business activity.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I think that would resolve my issue.
Terrific. Does anybody have an objection to adding contractual before obligation? Okay.
Can we hear the whole question?
Shereen?
Can we hear the whole question? I'm sorry, I'm not in front of a computer.
Pardon? Oh, the original question is, do you have current obligations or business activity which might interfere with your position as CFO? And Robert is recommending we add the word contractual before obligation, so it would read, do you have current contractual obligations or business activities which might interfere with your position as CFO?
I think I would prefer to say business instead of contractual, use business, and then remove business from where it is now.
So it would read contractual business...
Wait a minute.
So it would be contractual business obligations or activities?
I'm suggesting that we not use contractual, because people may have obligations, and there may not be a written contract, but they have business obligations that might affect affect their ability to work.
Huh?
I'm saying
they might have can you give us an example of something that wouldn't be contractual but that would be business? Because your job is even contractual.
I can't think of a precise example right now. I'm actually a little distracted because I'm driving, but
I have an example.
I think that okay,
hold on a second. Okay.
Thanks. Saying is that we strike the word contractual that Robert wanted to add, instead use the word business there, and then remove business from where it is in the original.
Okay, so it would read current business obligations or activities.
Right.
Okay, Janet Kay?
Yeah, I mean, so... someone might have their own business that they have customers for, whatever it might be, and that might take time and away from the CFO work. It's not a contract, it's just their own business. that takes up time.
Okay, how about business or contractual obligations or activities?
Okay.
Huh. Okay. Thank you. So it would read, do you have current business or contractual obligations or activities?
Okay. Well, I'd like to interfere
with...
Pardon?
I'd just like to
finish
also...
the rest of the sentence.
Yes. That is the rest of the sentence.
Wouldn't it be that might interfere with...
Oh, right. It might interfere with your position as CFO. But the question...
Again, please.
Okay. Do you have current business or contractual obligations or activities which might interfere with your position as CFO? Any objections? Hearing none, that will be the language. Okay.
And then I have one other comment.
Sure, go ahead.
And that was just regarding the order of the questioning.
Mm-hmm.
I think you ought to lead with your proactive questions and get down to your specific questions towards the end to give the person an opportunity initially to give their vision ideas. And then, you know, a lot of these things deal with problems we've had in the past, and those should come at the end to allow them to respond to those.
So make it like the new number 12.
Make it like the new number 12?
Mm-hmm. You're saying move it down, right?
Yeah, lockboxes are specific. But,
yeah, okay.
You know, the one that I like the most of all the questions on the list is, how would you put together a team of professionals? That's a vision question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would put those visions, talking about, you know, one is to question whether they've actually read our mission statement, but the one about mm-hmm. the mission statement is actually a vision question. So you lead with those.
Can I be on the step,
and then you
please?
Think of the specifics at the end.
Okay.
And then Janet K. also on the staff.
Right. Okay, so Janet C. and then Janet K. Thank you, Robert.
When I first...
I agree.
Yeah. When I first praised this list of questions, one of the things I thought about it as being very good, with the adjustments everybody's made, which are good, is that I think that they are as compelling in a scattershot fashion, a random order, as they are as we structure them, because as we try to structure them, we are imagining a response, and I think if we give up imagining a response, we may get something more interesting to listen to, you know, and we may, you know, the questions come in an order that's quite surprising. You have to think, you have to feel. I wouldn't meddle around too much with the order, because we're going to try to structure a set of emotions, I think. I don't think we should do that.
Okay.
Janet K.
Janet K.
Yes, so I think what we need to do is pin down the questions and then talk about the order. The two separate things. I'd like us to do it that way. Is that possible?
It's Can possible, I move that we do I don't that? Know that it's necessary, but it is possible. Okay, so if I can go back to number one, did we decide on an? I would like to have a sense of, and I don't know how to phrase this. Which one? Who likes the question the way it is? Let me put it that way. And the way it is right now for those who are not in front of a computer is, do you have any experience leading a company out of financial distress into financial health? If yes, can you tell us how you achieved that?
Very good.
And so the comment that I heard was they would prefer advise instead of leading. That seemed to be, you know, one of the questions. So my question to the group is, and I'd like to hear everybody, you know, it's not a, I don't know that it's a motion. It can be a motion. I don't know that the chair can propose a motion.
Amend the motion?
Yeah, it's not even a motion yet, but go ahead.
I know, a sentence.
Okay, can I be on the
stack? Hold on a second. I'm not taking a stack. I'm yet. What I'm saying, first I want to see, because I already heard several people that didn't like it and wanted to come up with different wording, and the different wording we can come up with unless there are more people that like it the way it is. So, first, I want to hear, so I'll make it a motion. I don't think I can do that. But anyway, how many people agree with it the way it is?
Benito.
No, Adriana, can you take the role?
Okay. José Luis Fuentes. Janet Cobb. No. Lidia Brazón.
Yes.
Lidia Casnipo, no. Robert Marx.
I'm okay with it, but I also am not opposed to tweaking it.
Okay, so we'll put you in the no column, because I'm just trying to get
no,
it.
No, I think it should be under a yes column.
Saying,
but...
you think it should be under what?
I think I said yes, but I just also am not going to argue with people that want to tweak it. I think it's okay as it is.
Excuse me, I have a rewording of the question, and I didn't think we were discussing while we were voting, so I can send
Janet, I'm conducting the meeting, please. Okay, Adriana, can you please continue?
Column.
I was only clarifying which column his vote was in. I'm not taking
Janet
a stack yet.
Janet, go on.
Tweak? No, I guess no. I'm for tweaking.
Sitting Robert?
No.
Dean Brown? Benito Diaz?
Brown?
Hi, no.
Did you say Saint Jim Brown?
Jim Brown?
Did you call my name?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Janet Lane Jewart? It's not here. Okay. Okay. We have four.
Okay. There were enough people that wanted to tweak, so in some way. So now I will take the amendment. So Janet Kay had previously said advise, and now Janet C. had another tweak, and then back to Janet Kay.
Well, I just sent Janet Kay, I just sent rewording. May I make that as the motion?
Not yet. I haven't called on you. Janet C. had the tweak before, so... Janet C. and then Janet K.
I had the earlier tweet, which is to say, have you ever been head of a company, organization, or other nonprofit? But to make it give a little more latitude to where they may have exerted some kind of leadership in a failing financial situation.
Okay, Janet K., do you want to read your what you've emailed us?
Talk about your experience advising a company out of financial distress into financial
health. Okay. Anyone else?
Adriana.
Go ahead, Adriana.
I like Janet's phrase, but maybe could be creating a path.
Pardon?
Instead of advising, creating a path?
Creating what?
P-A-T-H.
Path, P-A-T-H.
Oh, creating a path?
Right.
Okay. Okay, taking a stack. Janet, was yours a motion also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Benito to the stack.
Janet K. Well, first, let's have Janet K. motivate. During this, we can address also what, because Janet Kay emailed it. But anyway, we can address what Janet C. said, weave that in, and what Adriana said. So I will take comments on any of those, but we have a firm motion on the floor. Go ahead, Janet Kay.
Mine was an amendment, right?
Oh. Yes, yours would be an amendment.
Okay.
But first, we have to hear the motivation by Janet Kay.
Yeah. So anyway, I actually would want to add in, talk about your experience, if any, advising a company out of financial distress into financial health. And I think that would cover the concern about using leading. And it would, I think it would sufficiently deal with that question number one.
Okay. Adriana, do you want to speak to your amendment?
Yeah,
and then back to Janet C. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that what we want to know is that person is capable to create a real path, a real option for a company to get out of financial stress. I think that is exactly what we want to know, if he's able to do that and if he has experience doing it. It's like asking if he has experience, turning around a company that was in financial distress.
Okay, Janet T.
I'm just going to say one more time that really the imperative is so strong in all of these questions. You know, they're really exactly the questions we need to ask. I really think tinkering with them, fine if you want to do it, but the basic underlying import of them is very strong. And I personally think we can't go wrong with any six or seven of them. Not all of them. I don't think we can ask all unless we time it, you know, or maybe we should. Maybe we should actually time the questions, you know, and see, guess how long they would take.
Just so you know, we took 30 to 45 minutes. Most were about 45.
And how many questions would that have covered?
That would have been these 12 questions.
All of them. Oh, okay.
These 14 questions.
Oh, well, then I'm even happier because I think really they're very relevant.
Yeah, okay. And then I will call myself. I don't think advising is the same as leading. But I know I lost that vote. But I understand Adriana's concern about the ED and so forth. But what we want, you know, the way that our organization is structured is that we have the board hires two executives to lead to financial health and financial success. And we hire them with different roles, different areas of expertise, but they're both leaders. And we are looking for leadership qualities, in my opinion, but that would be me. That is why I think that the question as it stands, or it's still the best, but I will take the committee's word over it. Mm-hmm. So we have a motion. So your amendment, again, to be clear, Adriana, is what is it that you're replacing in her language?
It's a substitute, I think.
I know that it's...
Well, hold on a second. I'm asking Adriana.
I already sent it.
Oh, you did? Okay, hold on a second. Let me see if I got that.
And that reads, talk about your experience creating a path to take a non-profit organization out of financial distress into financial health.
Okay. Anyone want to speak to this?
Janet K.
Benito.
Okay, Janet K. In my opinion, by the way, they both are equally as wishy-washy, but go ahead.
Well, Adriana should motivate her?
Okay, I think she did before, but you can do it again if you would like, Adriana.
That's okay. I mean, it's clear what I'm trying to say. That's okay.
So. Yeah. Okay. And I haven't received yours, by the way, by email. I don't know if anyone else has.
I have.
My email must be slow. Okay, that's all right. Anyone else? I need to hear other voices.
Oh,
all I have are two.
Yeah, Benito, I've been trying to.
No. I need to hear voices other than Janet K and Adriana at the moment.
Benito.
Yeah, Benito.
So may I go? No,
Benito.
I had started by suggesting that Adriana motivate, but I wanted to be on the stack, so.
I will put you on the stack. But you and Adriana have these two dueling things, so, you know,
I wanted to address Adriana's.
You can. You will. I promise. De Benito. I need to get a sense of the other members to see where we're going. Benito.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Lydia said a minute ago. I don't know. Many people need to state what their problem is with the word leadership or leading a company out of or organization out of financial stress. Yeah, I think Lydia and John both spoke to that this position is a leadership position. If you want somebody to help, well, if you want somebody to help lead us out of the mud, we need leadership to do that. That is a leadership function. I don't care we're talking about financial issues, fundraising, religion, politics, or anything else. It's a leadership function. So maybe people should speak to what it is about the word leading or to lead the organization out of the mire that they have a problem with. I mean, even Adriana's wording, create a path, creating a path, although it's not as clear as leadership, it is a leadership function. You're taking the initiative to create a path where there is none. So we can talk round and round and round all night long about trying to find some alternative. Why don't we just say what the problem with the word leadership is? That's it.
Okay. Janet K?
Yeah, well, my issue with the word leadership is that implies to me that it is up to that one individual to make the thing happen. And so I would want, and it's not up to, it wouldn't be up to a CFO to have that job. The ED is responsible for the financial condition of the nonprofit. I would want to have something referring to working with the ED, creating a path or something like that.
You do realize that this is speaking about their past experience.
Yeah. Okay. That's a point.
Okay, John?
Just a point to reemphasize that I think that the original wording is fine. As Benito
can't hear you.
my mic's on. Can you hear me now?
Hello? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. The original wording is fine from my point of view, but I would also add that, you know, the ED does not work in a vacuum either. I'm not leading by myself. I lead working with others. It's a team approach. The CFO, quite frankly, the general managers at the stations, and board members work through and with me to lead the organization. So I don't think the word leadership implies it's a single person making all of the decisions. That's simply not the case. It's always going to be a team effort. That's all I have to say.
Point of information.
Yes, Jim.
Is it clear? Would we get a feel for this person understanding of what his role would be with the ED? In other words, role between CFO and the ED. Is that clear?
I think that it should be. They should, if they've gone to the website, or well, they will have had to. Communicated with us at some point, they should, and they look at the bylaws, then the bylaws, they would immediately go to the role of the CFO. And then they would, and, you know, they would, the next thing they look at is what is the role then of the ED. And so that's pretty clear in the bylaws, I think. We could also, once we get through that first phase of going through the resumes, and then we get down to a respectable number of candidates we're looking at, then the communication should include, and you should read the bylaws, which are posted on the Pacifica National Board. And that, you know, that'll be helpful to smooth that over.
Just one follow-up. In this question, would we get a feel as to whether understands that role?
Well, with the question?
Yeah.
No, because it's talking not about what they're going to do, only what have they done.
I see. I'm sorry.
See, it's because it specifically says, do you have any experience leading a company out of financial distress into financial health? If yes, can you tell us how you achieved that?
Yeah.
And you know, in the response, thinking about what Janet Coleman said is that, you know, we need not overthink this or try to guess what people are going to be responding. First of all, this is a group of professionals, because anybody that would be applying would have to have the requisite experience that we already put into the job description. And so they're already familiar with these kinds of questions. And then they would say, no, I've never led a company, but I was instrumental in recommending the project that was most viable in the executive director leading it out of distress. You know, they have complete answers to the questions that you ask. So I personally think we're thinking it, but anyway. Okay, so what we have on the floor is an amendment by Adriana. Adriana, would you like to repeat it?
Okay. Give me a second. I mean, I just sent it to you because for whatever reason, I cannot. My email showed that I sent it, but...
I got it. You want me to read it? Okay. Let me see. Okay. Talk about your experience creating a path to taking a nonprofit organization out of financial distress into financial health. And that is versus the main motion. So if this passes, it would replace Janet Coburn's motion, which is, talk about your experience, if any, advising a company out of financial distress into financial health. And so one basically is advising and the other is creating a path. And then if we wrote both down, then we end up with the original language about taking...
I have a question.
Yes, Serene.
Would it be appropriate to amend Adriana's motion?
Yes, I could take one more amendment.
Helping to create a path.
Talk about your experience helping to create a path. Okay.